they were in Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them.
Well, Lord be with you. Well, we are continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and we are in Matthew 7:15-20. If you haven't already turned there, I want to encourage you to turn there with me. And today we are going to be looking at false prophecy today. If you remember last week, Jesus had basically ended the formal part of the sermon in which he had basically laid all the groundwork for what we are to know. And really, last week what we saw is that he said, now, at this point in the message, really the invitation of the message is, apply it. You know, kind of what we just heard at the Lord's table is, what are you going to do now that you have this revelation of who Jesus is, what he did, what he said? Are you going to apply it to your lives? And so what Jesus did in the message last week is he explains that there are two paths, two gates that every single one of us have to choose which one we are going to enter. And he gives the wide gate, the broad way. And he says that this is the popular way. This is the easy way, the way that most of the world is going to enter by. And he says, but if you take this way, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to loss, to ruin, to death. And what we saw then, that gate really leads to hell. That there are many ways on the broad way, on the wide gate to hell. However, he also offers us, there's this narrow gate, the second option. And the narrow gate, though it may be difficult, it may be more exclusive, there might be certain boundaries that we must stay within, he shows that it is a worthwhile path. Because following Christ, trusting in Him as our Lord and our Savior, that is what this path is. And this path, what it does is it leads to life. Jesus says that really the choice that we make in our lives, the way that we want to orient ourselves when we choose out of these two gates, is that we really are choosing between life and death. Christ or the world. And so what He says is, I want you to follow the right path. I want you to seek the narrow gate, the difficult way that leads to life. Well, with that being said, we then come to the passage today in verses 15 to 20. And I think really what Jesus now is going to do is now that he says, hey, here are these two gates, the two paths, the two choices that we all have, our two essential destinies for every single soul in this building right now. Now he's saying, and by the way, I need you to be aware of something. And that there are going to be certain individuals who like to hang out right outside the narrow gate. And they like to try to convince the ones that are considering this narrow gate. They say, hey, actually, you need to go around this narrow gate and go to the wide gate. The broad way is actually a little bit better. So really, this is what he's saying. He's saying, I've just told you the truth. And now, there are going to be people that you're going to hear that are going to tell you something different. So that's really what I want to start out with then as we think about what Jesus is saying in verses 15 to 20. Is he's wanting us to be aware of the fact, he says, false prophets are among you. Jesus is saying this to his audience, and I think that Scripture is revealing it and telling it to us in our context as well. Jesus wanted his disciples to beware false prophets. And now when I say the word false prophets, sometimes we think, you know, the futuristic foretellers, right? A prophet, right? They see the future. And there is a context for prophecy in that way. However, what he's more what he's most likely referring to when he says false prophets is really false teachers. Those who are giving a certain teaching or a certain word, a certain doctrine that is contrary to the truth. And so whenever Jesus then says at the very beginning of this in verse 15, he says, beware false prophets. That means that that's a challenge for us. You can't beware something unless you are being aware of it, right? So we are to beware this. So I think what we need to then realize when Jesus is saying this, he wants us to be aware. He wants us to think about these things. He wants to recognize there are false prophets among us. We then need to remember that our lives as disciples are primarily being engaged in spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not trying to scare you and make you think there's a demon around every corner. I'm not wanting you to think that there's all this crazy supernatural, you know, stuff you see in the movies, right? But I do want you to recognize that your life is more than just going to work, getting a paycheck, going home, buying a few groceries, and then repeat. We actually, as Christians, as disciples, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. There is a different kingdom apart from the kingdom that Christ is offering us here. And if you choose this narrow path, you need to recognize that there are those hanging out at the gates, that they want to bring deception, they want to bring division, and they are offering you a way that leads to destruction. So then, when we think about this immediate context that Jesus is speaking to, I think most likely the false prophets that he's referring to are the religious leaders, right? He's actually compared and contrasts himself numerous times throughout this sermon, right? He talks about the way that they are doing their worship, right? How he says that this is what you're seeing the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites do. And he says this is what true worship looks like. And then he says, you also hear it's being said about the law, about the prophets. This is what you're hearing from the scribes and Pharisees. Jesus says, but I say unto you. So what he's doing is he's really showing how this is the truth, this is the way to live, and here are these false prophets that are literally right around you, right now. They are literally teaching this. They are living this life. And you need to make a choice. You need to recognize the difference between truth and error. But what he goes on then and says, not only do we need to recognize that false prophets are among us, but he also reminds us of something. And this is the part I think that we forget. It's easier to remember, okay, there are false prophets generically, right? But then he says this. He says that appearances can be very deceptive. Why do I say appearances can be very deceptive? Well, he goes on in the very first verse and he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So Jesus, right, he is calling sheep, right? We as Christians, as disciples, we are sheep that follow him as the true shepherd, right? The good shepherd who loves us, laid down his life for the sheep, right? For the flock. But what he says there is these false prophets, what they do is they actually come in unannounced to the body of Christ. They come into congregations. They come into churches. They come into your homes. And they look, they appear to be sheep. They put on clothing, and they look very friendly, innocent, safe. But what he says internally, who they really are in their soul, in their spirit, they are ravenous, vicious wolves. And when we think about wolves, what do wolves do to sheep? Well, wolves love to eat, devour, destroy the sheep. Jesus said that the wide gate leads to destruction. He says these false teachers who look like sheep, they look like Christians, they actually are going to lead you to the same path, which leads to death or destruction. So then when we think about false prophecy, when we think about these false teachers that may be in our own midst, we then need to remember this. Just because someone talks Christian, just because someone maybe is a nice person, they're charismatic, maybe they have a lot of followers or a lot of people in their church, that does not mean that they are true Christians. They are not truly sheep just because they can walk the walk or talk the talk sometimes. Rather, Jesus says we need to be on the lookout for these wolves in our midst. And he says, and you then, in verse 16, he says, you will know them by their fruits. He actually says it twice if you notice in this text. It's in verse 16, and then at the very end of verse 20, he summarizes it again. He's saying this is what it's all about. He says, in 16, you will know them by their fruits. In verse 20, and you will know them by their fruits. So what are these fruits? Well, if we just think naturally about fruit, right? Fruit, what does it do? It is the production of a plant, right? Or a tree, right? It's what the tree produces. So whenever he's referring to these false prophets who are in our midst, and he says that they are like a tree bearing bad fruit, what he's saying is you need to look then at what this individual is producing. So when we look then, what are they producing? What do we as humans produce? Well, it's really two things. We produce our deeds, right? How we just typically live our life, not just on a stage or behind a pulpit, but actually how do we live our lives? Are we living as a hypocrite like the religious leaders? Or you also evaluate and look at the production of their doctrines. That means their message. What are they teaching? So are they heretical, heretics? So really it's the deeds is the content of their character. Are they hypocrites? And doctrines, the content of their message, are they heretics? Right? So you got the deeds, doctrines, hypocrites, heretics. So you got the little alliteration there to help you. This is how we frame the conversation is this someone who is a false or a true prophet? So then when we think about it, when we come to the deeds, it's a little bit easier to know if someone's being a hypocrite, right? Over time, that maybe not at the first, at surface level, but as you get to know somebody, and if you hear them preaching or talking to you about the Bible and about Jesus, and then all of a sudden you just see their life is so contrary to the scriptures, right? If they say like how they love the Lord, but it's always about them, if they're always trying to just grow their following, their popularity, their finances, right? Their praise. If that's what they're always about, he's saying you need to notice that. See, that's hypocrisy and say, that then is a false prophet. That is a false teacher. But I think it's a little bit difficult sometimes in our church to discern the doctrine side. See, deeds, as I said, we can see hypocrisy over time. But when it comes to the doctrines, we need to recognize that that is just as much, even more so maybe, as dangerous as living a hypocritical life. Because what they are teaching you will actually start to affect and warp your own mind. And so then what are we to look out for when we are thinking about the doctrines that may come from a bad tree that produces bad fruit? Well, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 to 18, it says this. It says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." See, within this is the Apostle Paul writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ. And what he says is there are going to be these individuals who will come. They will preach, they will teach, they will be in your midst. And he says, and if you notice that these people start to teach doctrine that is contrary to what you've already heard, already received, so as we're working through the Sermon on the Mount, if you hear someone that starts to negate everything that Jesus has already said in chapters 5 and 6, he says, you need to be on the lookout. You need to start to think, who is this person? What are they truly teaching here? What are their intentions? Is this a sheep who's just in error and struggling a little bit with trying to understand some of the doctrine? Or is this truly a wolf who's coming to share a different message? And then he says, these individuals, what they do is they come actually to serve their own belly. So really, when they're preaching, it's really to elevate themselves, as I said. Or it is they use smooth words and flattering speech. And it says it's to the intent of deceiving the hearts of the simple. Now, that should be a thought for us, then. We don't want to be the simple in the congregation. You don't want to be simple, the one that's deceived, right? But what they do is they use these smooth words and flattering speech. What they do is they tickle the ear, right? So this is the thing. If you are going to a church, and if you hear a preacher, and they're always preaching, always good things, things that always make you just feel so good and so happy all the time, and you're just so comforted, and that's all you ever get, you're probably sitting under the teaching of a wolf, of a false prophet. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not here trying to preach to you and not make you ever feel comfortable. I do want to comfort you, but I also want to convict. That's what Jesus did. Jesus would comfort and he would convict. I want to inspire you, but I also want to equip you. That's what Jesus does here. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to have joy, but he also wants you to know what's going on. He wants you to know what is truth. So Jesus says, I need you to discern these people. You need to think about their intentions, and you need to not just be seeking to hear what you already know or what you want to hear, right? Because our culture is all about affirmation, right? It's all about your truth, right? It's all of these things that says you are perfect just the way you are. You were born this way. Jesus says you must be born again. So Jesus does not just give us the flattering speech, the words that tickle our ears. Rather, he offers a message that offers us comfort, hope, and conviction. We need to ask ourselves, are we getting the full counsel of God's word in the pulpit? Are you hearing about God's love and his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his goodness, his power, his ability to change and bless your life? And are you also hearing how God is jealous? God is holy, perfect, righteous. That God is going to judge the world. That God has wrath. That God will send sinners to hell. We have to hear the full counsel of God's word. God loves you. God offers you grace, forgiveness, mercy. He doesn't want you to go there. He's offering you the narrow gate. He wants you to enter his kingdom. However, the reality is, if you choose to reject that path, if you want to follow the false prophecy, and you want to go down the wide gate, the wide path, and you want to go with the world, he's not going to stop you. But if you choose that path, there is consequences, and that consequence is destruction. That's what Jesus is saying here. So I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to make you, you know, not want to come back here. But I want to give you what God is really saying. I want you to have hope and comfort, but you also need to hear the conviction that Jesus gives here. There are these wolves, there are false prophets, and they are sharing a false message that leads to destruction. So whenever you hear someone in the pulpit, you need to ask yourself, are they preaching about the narrow gate? Are they saying that there is a narrow gate, that we need to choose that way? Or are they leaving that by the wayside and they're only giving you the good things of God, the blessings? It's all about you, your finances. What are you hearing? We need to start to think about these things, hear these things. However, before I move on from false prophecy, I do want to point out, it's not always just individuals or persons who come in the church that are false prophets. We need to remember that every medium, every platform that we are exposed to is preaching a sermon. So what do I mean by that? Well, when you watch TV and when you watch a movie, when you're listening to music on the radio, the people that you allow in your homes, what they are talking about, what they are showing you, they are actually presenting you with a sermon. They are showing you what matters. They're giving you a world view. And now I need to ask, what are you absorbing? Because guess what? I only preach for maybe about 30 minutes. Sometimes you guys want me to be shorter, right? But it's about 30 minutes a week. That's all that I'm preaching. So if you regularly attend here, if you're a member here, you're getting me for about 30 minutes of preaching at a Sermon on the Mount. But the rest of the week, you got tons of other people you're listening to, talking to, you're watching potentially hours of Netflix, you're on social media all the time. What are you absorbing? Who are you listening to? And what sermons are you actually starting to sit at the feet at? Who are your teachers? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Because here's the thing, Jesus understood that as he was sending his disciples out, it wasn't just going to be the scribes and the Pharisees. They're going to be Romans, pagans, their neighbors, everyone that they encountered, all of the different things in their cultures, their customs, were going to be trying to lead them on a different path. They were trying to show them another way apart from Christ. And now we need to ask ourselves, are there certain things that we continue to let in our ears and through our eyes that are not following Christ, that are leading us towards another path? So we need to then remember that false prophets are among us. Jesus warned us about it. We can discern and find them based on looking at their fruit. And we need to remember that they are more than just the ones in our body. They can also be through all different types of mediums and types of platforms. So then the second thing that I want to share with you all then is that theology matters. Theology matters. If false prophets are coming, they are among us. They're going to be teaching us, sharing things with us, giving us messages. What that then means for us to be aware, right? To beware, we have to actually know certain things about God. And that's actually what theology means. Theology, it comes from two Greek words, theos, which means God, and logos, which means word or reason. So really what this means is to reason about God. That's what theology is, the study of God, reasoning about God. So when we think about theology and we think about these teachers, we need to recognize that we have to have a good understanding about who God is, what He's going to do, what He says about Himself, what His Word shows us. We need to actually study it and understand it. See, Jesus shows theological minimalism is not the answer. I'm astonished by how many people that I talk to that go to church on a Sunday and they will say that basically, I don't really want to talk about deep theological matters. I don't really want to know what this means exegetically. I just like the verse that says, I know the plans I have before you, right? To give you a hope, right? To give you good things. No, it's more than just that. It's more than just God is love, right? We actually have to get into some deep, weightier matters in the Scriptures. I just can't believe that people, whenever they say, I just want to love Jesus, and as long as everyone just loves Jesus, well, what does it mean to love Jesus? Does it mean to actually follow Him? To understand His teaching? It says, if you love me, Jesus, keep my commandments. So you got to understand the commandments to even love Jesus. And who is Jesus? Does that matter? Does it matter if He was God? Does it matter if He was truly man? Does it matter if there's a triune God? Or that there's a thousand millions of gods? These things matter. We have to think about these things. We have to rationalize. We need to reason and study about God. Because what Jesus is showing is, because theology matters, theology protects us from the world's deception. If you get convinced by things that you're hearing on the news or through commercials or social media all the time, it's because you're reading it. You're ingesting it all the time. But if you're studying God's Word, if you're thinking about Him all the time, then you actually start to renew your mind. You start to think about the things of God and His kingdom. It changes your perspective. It keeps you on the narrow way. Theology also authenticates and fuels our worship. Some of you may be aware of this. Just whenever you're sometimes reading the Gospels and you just see Jesus do something, or you just hear something that Paul says and says how we are to love and treat one another, or there's just some other theological matter that you just finally have a revelation on and you're like, I didn't realize it's all throughout Scripture how it all works. God is amazing how He's crafting the Bible. And you're brought to the feet of Jesus. You literally are brought to worship God because you just know He's so amazing. He's good, He's powerful, He's so wise. See, theology will fuel your worship. It's not going to say, oh, I'm just trying to be, you know, very intellectual and then there's no emotion. No, if you get really into the Bible and you're so excited to see His Word and see what He reveals to us, it's going to ignite something in you emotionally. So actually, theology is a good thing because it protects us from the world's deception and it authenticates our worship. And I think what this means then also is that every Christian must be a theologian. Did you know that if you're a Christian, you are called to be a theologian, not just the minister, not just the elders. Now, I'm not saying you have to be an academic or you have to be a scholar. You don't have to know what every Greek Hebrew word means. But you are a theologian if you're a Christian. You are called to study God. You are called to study His Word. That's your primary mission, not your job, wherever you work. You are to study God. We are called to be theologians. Theology matters. And with that, we then recognize, then we must be discerning. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, it says, Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We as Christians are called to rightly divide the word of truth. We are to understand what God is saying. He didn't give us the Bible to be so abstract, so distant from us that we cannot receive or understand or comprehend it. He gave it to us so that we can apply it, live it out, and be blessed by it, so that we can come to know Him. So we are actually called to rightly divide the word of God. So you, every single person that's here, you are called to rightly divide the word of God. Pastors are not Bibles. I am not the authority. I am not the final authority. Scripture is Scripture. So anytime that I or anyone who ever would come up here and speak, if it's ever contrary to the Scriptures, they are false. The Scriptures are true. There's a good analogy that I've seen that if you've ever heard or seen a picture of an iceberg, right? From a faraway view, you see that there's like the tip of the iceberg that's outside of the water. And it's, you know, it's pretty significant. You see it. But then if you like, you see under the water and you see literally how much more depth and great vastness there is for this iceberg. That's what it's like when it comes to hearing me preach on a Sunday, you get the tip. But if you actually go and study and pray and fast on your own, you're going to see the vastness that comes with God's word. There is so much more for you than what I can just give you in 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. And I want to encourage you and challenge you to go and seek the Scriptures. Theology matters. Understanding God, knowing God, it matters. It's so important, and it's going to change your life if you commit to it. So then when we think about false prophets are among us, we need to recognize theology really matters. And then the final thing that I want to share then is saved people are changed people. To be a Christian means a change in a man's very life and nature. See, what Jesus does here is he talks about these false prophets that are among them. And then he says that there are these trees, which is similar to what you think about the Garden of Eden, if you remember. There are two trees set before you. There's a good tree and there's a bad tree. The bad tree leads to death and destruction, but there's this good tree that leads to life and abundance. And what Jesus then shows us then is if you are not a false prophet, you are not following the broad way, the wide way anymore, what you are doing is you are actually now a part of a new tree. You are a good tree that produces good fruit. See, you are no longer a bad tree when you are following Christ. So then that reminds us that there is a transformation that happens. We have to change. We cannot just say, hey, I want to be a Christian now, and then we look at our lives and there's no difference. We have to make a change. And this is the Christian doctrine of the rebirth. John 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're talking about seeing the kingdom. We're talking about this narrow gate that leads to the kingdom, following Jesus. And he says that this is not possible unless we are born again. We must be changed by the power of the Spirit. When we trust in Christ for our salvation, when we turn from our sins, he gives us the Spirit. He turns us into a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, when we follow Christ, we become a good tree, producing good fruit, where we no longer are attached to the things of the bad tree, producing the bad fruit. And so I think this needs to remind us then that Jesus is not just offering us a kingdom, but he's giving us this new home, and he's saying, and I'm going to make you new in it. Because guess what? If we all went to the kingdom the way we were, it wouldn't be very much of a kingdom, right? We see what happens in the kingdoms in the world throughout history when we all get involved the way we are. But Jesus says, I'm giving you a kingdom and I'm going to make you new as you go into the kingdom. He's creating us new. He's making us new so that we can produce these wonderful, good fruits. We're looking at people's fruits. We're saying, are you someone who is saved, who is producing and preaching the gospel? Or are you someone who's sharing a different way that leads to destruction? So what are some of the fruits that we as Christians who are saved, who are changed, what should we produce? Well, Jesus showed us this at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. So I'm just going to read some of these for you and just reflect on yourself. Are you producing these fruits? Are these your characteristics? Is this what you look like? Is this your life? Or are you still back here in the world? Are you still back in the old life? Has it not passed away? Are you not truly a new good tree, a new good creation? So the Beatitudes, are you poor in spirit? Do you mourn over sin? Are you meek? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Are you merciful? Are you pure in heart? Are you a peacemaker? And are you willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Jesus says this is what it means to be blessed. This is what it means to be a citizen of His kingdom. The Beatitudes show us the good fruits of God. We also have Galatians 5, which many of us know, 22 to 23. It refers to the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. This is the fruit that comes with the new life, that comes with following Christ on the narrow path, through the narrow gate. And so this is what I want all of us to hear, and I want us to apply. Don't follow the world. Don't hear the false teachings. Listen to the Word of God. Study it. Remember, theology matters. Experience God. Be transformed. Produce this fruit. And go and make a difference in the world. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what I want us to do. Because the last thing I want to share is verse 19. God reveals to us that He is the final judge. And He is never deceived. Verse 19 says that those who are of the bad tree, those who produce the bad fruit, they are going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. Now here's the thing. You don't have to be afraid if you're a disciple. If you're a Christian, if you follow the Lord, if you love Jesus, you're willing to submit yourself to His Lordship, understand the Sermon on the Mount and apply it to your lives, there's nothing to worry about. Because God will see your heart. He will see your willingness to submit and trust in Him. And you are a good tree. And you're not going to be harmed. You're going to continue to have life abundant with fruit and joy and goodness. But for those who refuse to hear the gospel and apply it, they will be cut down. They will not be able to hide from God. We might be deceived sometimes, but God is never deceived. He is a good judge. And He will come one day and all will be made right. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful to come to You to study Your word, Lord. To remember that we must be alert, we must be sober, we must be vigilant, Lord, when it comes to these matters. We must be students of Your word. We must sit at the feet of Jesus to know and learn from Him, Lord. We need to apply His message. We need to seek after the truth, and we need to bear fruit. We need to be different. We need to change as we are saved by You and Your grace, Lord, that Jesus, You would come and die on the cross for our sins, that You would rise from the dead and offer us this new way in this new kingdom. We love You. We thank You for all that You give us. In Jesus' name, amen.